Well, good morning. I want to greet each one of you. It's good to see each one here in the house of God. I've been blessed so far with the service. Actually, in my studying this week, I had neglected to even look at the Sunday school lesson. And as we sat there and discussed it this morning, how Jesus was tempted but yet didn't sin, how he gained victory over the temptations that he faced, there was just different reminders and confirmations in my mind of where God drew me with this message. And I don't know how many of you guys follow along the Advent schedule each year leading up to Christmas. The four candles symbolizing each week a different focus, looking forward to the coming of Christ. This week, the focus is peace. And so I was drawn to that subject, and I actually totally intended to go in a different direction than where I ended up at this morning. So this may not be your typical Christmas Advent sermon on peace, but so be it. That's where God led me. But the title I gave this message is Jesus, Prince of Peace. And I'll look for a little bit of feedback here in just a moment. Be thinking about peace, what that brings to your mind when you think of that word, what you would describe it as. So if we were to talk about the word peace, what would come to your mind? Would it be something like a quiet evening on the porch, watching a sunset in the distance? Would it be a nice day spent fishing on your favorite lake? Would it be a day spent in the woods, just enjoying God's beautiful creation? Would it be a day where the house is quiet, the kids are with their friends, and you can just simply enjoy the quietness of your house? Would it be a day away at the beach? Would it be something... When I think of peace, I'm crazy. I'm sure most of you would not agree with me, and we don't experience it much here. A fresh snowfall has got to be one of the most peaceful scenes that I can think of. Like I say, a lot of people probably think I'm crazy. But when the snow blankets everything, when it's just covered, when it's calm, it's quiet, there's something about that that, in my mind, that's one thing I think of when I think of peace. What do you guys think of when you think of peace? No stress? I would agree.
When you first asked, I just thought about quietness in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Quietness in your heart? I think even if you can't think spur of the moment of something, I think each one of us can get a picture, an idea of an example of what we would picture or associate with peace. And there's a good chance that each one of us would say something different because we all might look at peace in a little different way. We might define it a little differently. I looked up just a basic definition in a dictionary of the word peace. It gave five different points. The first one, the absence of war or other hostilities. The second one, an agreement or a treaty to end hostilities. Third, a freedom from quarrels and disagreement, harmonious relations. Number four, public security and order. Number five, inner contentment and serenity. So it covers a very broad spectrum. But I think each one of us has a different view of peace and what it involves. I'd like to, if you turn to Luke chapter 2 in your Bibles, I want to just look at a few verses there, the account when the angels showed up to the shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." You notice there in verse 14, it says, "Peace on earth to those who his favor rests on, or those with whom he is pleased." So keeping in mind the definition out of the dictionary, and then this phrase in the scripture, when you look around the general state of the world around you, would you say that you see peace as defined by the dictionary? Is it on display around us today? I would say if you pay much attention to anything around you, it would be no. There is not much peace in the world today. What about this peace on earth that the shepherds heard about, that the angels sang about? What about that? Would you say that that peace is on display today? It seems like this time of the year and Christmas time, when we're reminded once or many times of peace and joy and love, this is a season of giving that we should experience, that we should see this peace on display now more than ever. But it seems like there's a lot of hustle, and there's a lot of bustle, and there's a lot of busyness. There's a lot of things that come in and crowd out any chance of peace in our lives. Could it be that we've lost sight of what true peace is, or have we forgotten who the true source of our peace really is? I think it's evident when you look around us that there are many people searching for peace. I think whether or not you're a Christian, God has placed a desire in your heart to have peace. The difference between us and a non-believer is the non-believer probably is going to look in all the wrong places for peace. They might think that So I looked up a lot of sayings having to do with peace. And you come up with a lot of humanistic thinking really quickly when you do that. If it's Buddha, if it's the Dalai Lama, if it's these well-known people that are an inspiration to people, but they're very worldly in their theology. They would give you the idea that if you meditate long enough, if you think hard enough, if you are disciplined enough, you can find an inner peace. And it is on you to find your inner peace. Then we can live in a mindset of peace, and we can contribute to the quest for world peace. That is the thinking of the world's theology, that it is up to us, ourselves. And you can see how people would be attracted to that. It's something that can work on our emotions when we think of being able to block out all the negativity and the conflict around us and to focus on what is positive. That's attractive to us, but it's very flawed. Some other ways that society might pursue peace is in the pursuit of or the accumulation of things or a status. Many times you can be disillusioned thinking maybe a new car or a new truck would settle and satisfy your restlessness. Maybe if you had a bigger house, that would make you feel fulfilled. Maybe this doesn't apply to us, but general society, maybe it would. Maybe if you got promoted to that executive position in the company, and you moved up a few floors to the top floor of the high-rise office building, maybe then you would be somebody. Maybe if I was super talented at a sport, and I got a mega-million-dollar contract to play ball. Maybe that would make me somebody. In all of these scenarios, there is a possibility that it would bring you temporary happiness, joy, whatever you might say, pleasure, but it's not going to bring you true peace. In fact, many times if you think about it, the more that someone has, the more of a struggle that person might have to find true peace. If you think back to the example of the rich young ruler, when he came to Jesus, he was saying all the things he had done. Now what does he do to receive eternal life? And Jesus gave him one more simple thing to do. He said, sell all of your possessions, give it to the poor, and follow me. And that man turned and walked away sad because he couldn't do it. He couldn't give up all of that wealth and all of those things that he had accumulated and lay them down to follow and serve Christ. How many times are we the same way? How many times do we struggle to surrender to Christ? It involves sacrifice, and it's not easy. We have to give up our own desires, our own wants, and I have to lay that down and give up my agenda to pursue God's purpose for me, and then I can experience true peace. You see, it's only in true surrender to Christ that we find true peace. The forgiveness He provides us allows us to experience the peace that only God can give. The peace that this world offers is only temporary. It's based on circumstances. Where I find myself right now is what is going to depend on how peaceful I am. When things are going well, when I'm feeling good about life, then I can be okay. But when things take a turn for the bad, when things get tough, then that happiness dissipates quickly, and there is no peace. The peace that God offers can be had even in the toughest of circumstances. I think of the families that are dealing with losing loved ones recently. It's hard to explain how you can say that you can have peace when you just lost a family member, when you just went through a really tough time. It's something in our human minds we can't explain. It's just there. And thank God for that. But this peace is the result of being forgiven from my sins and having Christ living in my heart. It is the assurance that I am safe in His hands, even when there is turmoil all around me. It is not something that, I just said this, it cannot be easily described, but in deepest pain, in deepest grief, we can still experience the peace that transcends all understanding. If you turn now to Philippians chapter 4, I want to read a verse there. Philippians 4, verse 7, it says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a peace above anything that you and I can explain or fully comprehend. I think anyone that's been through a hard time in life, maybe a tragedy, a time of deep grieving, I think they would say that if their trust was in Jesus, they experienced a peace that they have never felt before. And they don't know where or how or anything like that. It's just it was there. And that's this peace that passes all understanding. So I think each one of us would say we can see the value of being filled with this peace. We can understand the value of it, but yet we still struggle. How is it such a struggle to have the peace of God in us, to feel the peace of God? What are some things that cause us to lose this peace? In my thinking, in my studying, I would say one of the biggest stumbling blocks for us is our thought life. I think our mind is a major battleground in this battle. And I think it's a big obstacle for finding true peace. Have you ever heard the expression, you are what you eat? Very basic expression, a lot of truth in it. So you can imagine what would happen if you would just eat donuts and pizza and drink sweet tea all day long. You might be happy temporarily, but I guarantee it wouldn't last long, and I guarantee you there would be some health problems headed your way in short order. You probably would see some changes in your body that you didn't like because you kept filling it up with garbage. A little bit of donuts and a little bit of pizza is fine, but not all the time. But the same can be true of our minds. When we are constantly filling it with garbage, it's going to start to have some negative effects. And it's going to start to have negative effects on our relationship with God. It's going to start to bring us down. And there's a lot of garbage in life that can weigh us down. You can list a whole list: worry, anxiety, negativity, lust, jealousy, greed, selfishness, pride, anger. You can go on and on. All of these thoughts will block out or remove the peace that God wants us to dwell in. We need to be aware of this and identify this garbage and then filter it out. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So I get this picture in my mind of a filter. You can run liquid through. Most times a filter is going to have liquid running through it. And you want the liquid to pass through the filter, but you want all the junk that's in the liquid to be separated and to be taken out of the liquid. So by the time the liquid goes all the way through the filter, it's clean, it's purified. That's what I think of when I think of our thoughts, our mind. Is it easy? No. But we need to filter that junk out before we dwell on it. And I think we would do well to exercise self-control and discipline in what thoughts we allow ourselves to dwell on. As Christians, it can be a simple filter. It can be truth or lies. Satan would love nothing more than to rob us of our peace and to cause us to doubt God's promises. So he will throw doubt and fear, any other thought that can drag us down, and take our focus off of Christ and put the focus back on ourselves. And when we do that, we're no longer living at peace because now we are striving for what we need, what we want, and the focus is back on ourselves, which only causes trouble. Let's look at some ways that we can live with God's peace in us, that we can help ourselves do this. So I'm going to look again at Philippians 4. I only read one verse, and I did that intentionally. We're going to read verses 4 through 9 now, and it's going to give us a more complete picture. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Paul urges us to focus and think on these truths, and then he makes a very declarative statement. The God of peace will be with you. When we do these things, we can find that peace that we're looking for. In Romans 5, there's a lot of reminders. I'm not going to turn to it, but there's a lot of reminders of how we can have peace with God through our faith in Jesus Christ, through what his blood did on the cross. We can have peace with God. There's many other places you can go all through the scriptures, if you look up peace, and you can find assurances, you can find promises of how we can attain that peace. I would say two big keys to living with the peace that only God can give are these. Number one, remember and believe the promises God has given us. That is so big. He loves us. He redeemed us. If you struggle to grasp this, a great exercise, go to Ephesians 1 and 2 and just read them. And then write down on a piece of paper, I am, and find all the things that you are through Christ. You are chosen. You are redeemed. You are loved. The list will be long. And write it down on a piece of paper and look at that. It'll do a lot to show you a clear picture of how much God values us. I'd say the second big key is contentment. Be thankful for what God has given you. Be thankful for where God has placed you right now. Be thankful for how He created you, with the talents, the gifts He's given you, and then use those gifts where you are right now to honor and serve Him to the best of your ability. And we can all become troubled, we can all become worried when we look around us, when we see things that look scary, when the future is uncertain. And we all need to be reminded from time to time to trust Jesus. Even the closest people to Jesus had to be reminded of this. His disciples had to be reminded multiple times. If you look in John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Shortly after that, again in chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Very comforting words. The truth is, on this earth, there will always be struggles. There will always be conflict between our sinful nature and the ways of God. That is what makes the promise of heaven so special to you and I. As believers, we can rest in the promise that there will be a day when there will be complete and perfect peace. That is made possible because a long, long time ago, a baby was born in a manger in the town of Bethlehem. He would grow up to be a man and faithfully serve God, and then he would give himself up as a perfect sacrifice for your sins and my sins. He would then raise up from the dead to give us victory over death. He was and is the Prince of Peace for you, for I, for all mankind, as foretold in Isaiah 9. I'd like to turn to that in closing. We'll read a couple verses in Isaiah 9, prophesying about what Jesus would be called when he was born. We're going to read verse 6 and verse 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Jesus is the Prince of Peace for all of us, for all mankind. Is he your Prince of Peace? Are you serving him today? Do you have his peace in you right now? Don't miss out on the blessing of experiencing his true and lasting peace. It's the kind that only he can afford or can only offer. I would challenge us this Christmas season, let's not lose sight of that, because we have a lot to offer those that are searching for any peace that they can find. And let's share that gift with them. Scott, do you have a song? Okay, Christian Hymnary 479. You can find that and stand, and then we'll pray. The same number, though?
479.
479 in the faith and praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for the gift of peace that you offer to us. God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for redeeming us. Father, thank you for the assurance that we can just trust you, that we can place our lives in your hands, and that you will take care of us. God, help us to do that. God, help us to remember your promises and just to rest in you. And especially in this season, Father, I pray that you would help us to be able to pass on that peace to those around us. Lord, would you just bless each one? Would you go with each one? In Jesus' name, amen.
Peace, perfect.